Thank you, ladies. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 5. And we'll begin at verse 1, Psalm 5. Again, appreciate all of you making the effort, maybe having to shovel some very, very heavy snow and slip and slide into church. And we will not keep you very late. I know it's probably getting worse. That just added 5 minutes to the minute. But there's another 10 minutes. Who'll give? We got 10, 10. Who'll give 15, 15? No. All right, Psalm 5 and verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. By the way, it's not talking about your used car dealer. Leasing means lies or untruths, all right? The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. For they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Father, thank you so much that we can rejoice. As the choir sang in the opening song, rejoice. We have so much to rejoice about. And I thank you for that. And I pray you'll help us to be obedient and rejoice and praise you, because you certainly deserve all our praise. Bless this time now as we open up your word. Use it, Lord, in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled the message tonight, When It's Hard to Rejoice. When it's hard to rejoice. I think God recognized that it would be often hard to rejoice. Oh, I just got a raise. Well, man, rejoice. Oh, I went to the doctor and he says I'm a perfect specimen of health. Well, yeah, that's not going to happen. But anyway, rejoice, you know. When things are going good, there's just a lot to rejoice about. Truth is, though, things don't always go good, as the way we see them anyway. Things just aren't always the way we'd like them to be. This weather, you know, we're all excited. Well, some actually like snow and ice and all that, But myself, for example, I was getting excited about all the melting. I had, honestly, I had this square in the front of our yard, and you know, you can only pile so much snow on it. And, you know, I shovel the sidewalk, and then I shovel the walk going that way, and then you shovel the edge of the drive, and then I shovel another little spot so my wife can walk to her car and not get any snow on her feet. Thank you. So anyway, all of it, four areas pile into that one spot. And I mean, it was getting pretty high. And it just has been fun to watch it melt. I've been enjoying that, getting all excited. And there was just one little sliver still. You know, I'm going to say it's about that long. And it was kind of a half moon shaped sliver there in the middle of that little patch. And I was so excited about that melting. And now it's back to snow again. But we struggle rejoicing about everything. We have trouble with that. It's hard to rejoice. And I think that's why God had to tell us to rejoice. Amen. I mean, he had to say so in the scripture. Here it says that if you put your trust in God, rejoice. It says, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. So if you put your trust in the Lord tonight, you can rejoice. It says, let them ever shout for joy. That's somebody who's willing to give a praise to God for what he's done. Then it says, because thou defendest them. By the way, if you trust the Lord, you know God's defending you. He's taking good care of you. Amen. Then it says, let them also that love thy name be joyful. So if you love the Lord tonight, you can also be joyful. For thou, Lord, it says, will bless the righteous. And don't we know that? I mean, don't we really know that God's going to bless his people? And it says with favor. And the word favor there, you know, every time there's a word favor like that, I put beside it the word grace. Because that is what God's grace is. It's favor. It's just showing us favor. He doesn't have to do things for us. He doesn't have to give us a home in heaven. But he does. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. And in spite of his exhortation to us, we see in the first part of this passage, or the middle part here, we have enemies. We know the devil hates us. We know that the world is pretty tired of us. We know that our righteousness and doing right, you know, there are a lot of folks who don't appreciate that at all. And we read the passage and we see that, you know, sometimes it's hard to rejoice. Sometimes it is difficult. And again, that's why God has to tell us to. That's why in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 he says, rejoice evermore. That's why he says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He has to tell you, in English, you'll learn that the subject there of rejoice always, or rejoice in the Lord always, subject is you rejoice. You know, God's telling you, he's saying, hey, you need to rejoice. The subject of rejoice evermore is you rejoice evermore. He says in Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He says, finally, he says, after all that I've said, I'm trying to help you, I'm trying to encourage you, but finally, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Just rejoice in the Lord. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, again, he had to tell us this. He had to command this. He says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything. That means, you know, why did he say that? Well, I always thank God. I'm thanking God, but in it, do you thank God for the things you don't necessarily understand? And obviously, that's why he had to tell us to do it. And it's whether we think it's good or whether we think it's bad, doesn't really matter. He says, you're supposed to thank me. And again, why is it? Well, I guess it's because, verse 11, because I've put my trust in him. I guess it's because he defends me. I guess it's because I love his name, I can rejoice. And tonight, folks, I want to urge you to rejoice. Verse 7, it says, but as for me, but as for me, but as for me. Tonight, no matter what everybody else is doing around you, no matter what everybody else is saying, no matter what the newspaper says, what the news reporters are reporting or any of that kind of stuff, you know, forget that. As for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. I'm going to come to you knowing, God, I deserve punishment, but I'm going to come in the multitude of your mercy. And I want some of that grace, God. I want those blessings, God. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. But it's hard sometimes. There's folks here going through things that are very difficult. It's hard. I just want to talk to you for the next few minutes about this. I actually don't have an outline. I just wrote down some things, and I just want to talk to you. And it's worked out well, because I think it'll be a little bit shorter as long as you look intelligent. We're in trouble with who's sitting toward the front. No, do you know, here's the thing that, and I think I challenge our young people with this. I challenge them a lot of times. Do you understand, you and I don't really know if something's good or bad or not. And we all know this, and I know I just spent some time talking to Dan Pfeiffer about this very thing. We know that things that seem bad to us most of the time turn out good. I mean, they really do. It's amazing how they turn out good. And again, we know the scripture, all things work together for good. And we understand that, but here's the thing: we don't really know, and that's why it's so hard. If we knew the end of everything, stay with me now. Yeah. if you knew the end of every, if you knew how it was going to all turn out, you'd be able to rejoice a lot easier, wouldn't you? And when it says that everything give thanks, I mean, honestly, when you got that shot, and that nurse or that doctor put that shot in and said a little sting, oh, that's always wrong. I mean, a little sting, it's like, ah, you know. And if you knew, though, if you knew that medicine was going in you and it was literally going to save your life, if you knew that, somehow you could just know what that's going to do, you'd say, hallelujah, praise God for that shot. The thing is, we don't really know that. Now, a doctor may say it, and we do we let him give us a shot because we think it's going to help us. But you know, it's even more so with God. If you knew that surgery was going to save your life, if you knew that surgery was going to give you a better life, are you listening? The thing is, you don't know that when you're going in. You're thinking about how much pain I'm going to have, how much trouble this is going to cause, how much time it's going to take, and you're thinking of all these other things. The thing is, we really don't know if it's good or bad or not. We don't know. We just, whatever we're going through, we don't know. How about getting laid off and thinking the end is here, and yet it ends up you get a better job? Happens all the time. I mean, you just it comes down to verse 11, and I'm really keen on verses 11 and 12 because those that put their trust in thee rejoice. And I can turn that around and say, those who don't put their trust in thee don't rejoice. I'll be honest with you, I've pastored a long, long time now, and I think, Brother Johns, that's true. Those that don't put their trust in God don't rejoice. And you know why they don't rejoice? Because they're terrified. You know why they're terrified? Because they haven't put their trust in God. You know why you're terrified tonight? Because really, you're just kind of wondering, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know I'm supposed to trust you, but the truth is, you're not trusting Him. Because when you trust Him, you can rejoice. Because you know it's going to work out good. I've asked this question before, and like to challenge myself with it. Jesus dying on the cross, was that good or bad? When He died on the cross, was that good or was it bad? Well, it's good for you, right? That's a bad thing, wasn't it? It's too bad He had to die on the cross. But I'll tell you what, it's a good thing for us. It's a good thing for us. The soldier, he said, if thou be the Son of God, save yourself. But he couldn't save himself and save us too. So is it good or bad? See? Now, in your life, things like that happen all the time where it may look bad. It may even seem bad at the time. But God has something that is going to come out of it. And ultimately, I can rejoice because I trust Him. You can rejoice because you trust Him. And the truth of the matter is, we don't know whether it's good or whether it's bad or whatever. Paul and Silas are in jail and they're singing praises to God. But they don't know they're going to get out of jail. Right? Paul said about him being in prison, he said he was in bonds for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, is furthering the gospel good or is it bad? I guess we would all say it's good. Is Paul being in jail, is that good or bad? Kaylee, you're very honest, and that's true. It's very bad. And yet it was good. Paul himself said it was good. I could give tons of illustrations. I'm not going to give a bunch of illustrations. But I want you to think about this thing. You say, yeah, but look, listen. You and I don't even, not only do we not know if something's good or bad, we don't know what we need. We have no clue what we need. A child says that they like candy. But they can't always have candy. They're supposed to eat vegetables and other things like that that are healthier and everything. But you know, and we look at the kids and we think, oh, you know, all they want's candy. But all we want's a candy-coated life. It is. You know, I'd rejoice if everything just went the way I wanted it to go. But again, that's not the way God says for us to rejoice. It is always based on, God, I trust you. I think of Ron Hamilton's song, Rejoice in the Lord. What a beautiful song, but it's more beautiful because he had cancer and lost his eye and wrote that song. I mean, I rejoice in the Lord as long as I've got perfect vision. I'll rejoice in the Lord as long as I can hear perfectly. Well, I'll rejoice in the Lord as long as I'm feeling good, but that's not what God says. You say, well, I prayed for a certain amount of money, but I didn't get it. But you ought to thank God for what you did get. And thank God for what you have. You know, I look around at people that are far worse than we are. And there really are so many that are far worse than we are. Well, but I prayed we'd win the basketball game. Yeah, I sort of prayed that way too. Actually, I think it's the guy that's praying before the game's getting us in trouble. Seems like the last couple losses, Mike Poor has prayed. We'll have to talk to him about that. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, instead of praying to win a ball game, thank God you have health to play in the ball game. Thank God you can be involved in those things. You know, thank God you're alive. Thank God you're an American. Thank God you have a car. Thank God you have food to eat. Thank God we have a King James Bible. Thank God we have a church. Thank God we have soul winning. Thank God we see people saved. We see people baptized. There's nothing really for us to complain about. And I thought, yeah, but winter came back. Honestly, I thought next we were going to see green grass. Amen. Now it's white again. I looked. Yeah, I know. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter where you live. I mean, I've lived in the north and the south. I've lived where it's real cold and real hot. I've gone soul winning in both cases. In fact, I was thinking about this first time we went soul winning in Louisiana. Do you remember how hot it was, Dave? And we went pretty much all day on Saturday, and my bald head burnt. But somebody got saved. I remember the first time in Michigan, and it was probably in May, and it was 20 below zero. It wasn't in May, but I remember one of the first times it was very, very cold, and it seems like it was like a wind chill of below zero, something or other. And I could still see it standing out there, and I couldn't turn the pages with my gloves. So I'd take my gloves off and turn the pages, and literally there was snow all over the New Testament, and I'm showing this guy. Now, he got saved. He might have done it just to get me out of there so he could get in. But it doesn't, you know, you can't let the temperature and the weather and everything determine your rejoicing. We just can't do it. If you trust God, the Bible says, rejoice. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Do you love him today? I've thought about this, talked about this before as far as just writing down a list of all the things God's done for you. And the next time you get upset about something, get out your list of all the things God's done and all the good things. I've counseled people recently about this kind of thing, you know, to offset the negative in our lives. And again, the only reason it's hard to rejoice is because there's all these bad things happening, all these things that we don't understand going on in our lives, and all these things that we can't figure out because we're not God. And we don't trust him enough to just say, okay, God, I trust you with it. And if we could just look at that list and show, here's what he did here, here's what he did here, here's what he did here. That's what the psalmist is doing here. He said, because thou defendest them. God has defended me over and over and over and over. I don't have to worry about my enemy. God defends me. I don't have to worry about all those things. God is the one who's taking care of me. Are you saved tonight? Amen. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? I would say probably everybody here would at least give that testimony. They're saved. You're going to heaven when you die. You have a home in heaven. You're a child of the King. The children just sang about, I'm a child of the King. What a blessing that is. And I mean, couldn't we just all focus on that? If we're a child of the King, then really money's not a big deal. If you're a child of the King, and the King happens to be the great physician, then health isn't a big deal. Not to Him. We just have to trust. Just trust, that's all. And you know, when we're trusting God, it doesn't matter who's in office. Oh, you know, this has happened and that. Oh, I know, it's amazing, isn't it? But the Bible did tell us these kinds of things were going to happen. It's not foreign to God. It's not a surprise to God. God has never, I don't find anywhere in the Bible where God says, oops. He knew about this weather. Now, see, that's what I talked to Him about. So I say, God, couldn't this have waited just a little bit? Well, obviously, He didn't think so. He didn't think so. And there's others that had all this weather move in this morning. Did you ever think about that? You say, well, but you don't understand. I'm broke. Did you know that it's idolatry to worship money? I think it's idolatry to worship the weather. I think it's idolatry to worship health. I think it's idolatry to worship our circumstances. But it boils down to this. Do you trust Him? It boils down to this. Do you love His name? Do you know we had several people saved at a funeral this week? Do you know we had several people saved Wednesday night? I'm going to say this, and I think it's true. I believe last Sunday we had several people saved in the prison ministry. And some baptized. Now that's Sunday. That's Wednesday. Several times Wednesday. We had people saved out soul winning yesterday. I mean, those are good things. And you're saved, right? Yeah. So why wouldn't we just rejoice? Why wouldn't we just be excited about what God's doing? Well, it's because we don't trust God. The other day, I honestly had a lot going on, and I was very concerned about it, and I got a little whiny with God just for just a two-hour period. I got just begging God and asking God. And you know, it didn't take very long to start thinking about, but a lady and her sons just lost her husband and their daddy. It didn't take real long for me to think about Dan Pfeiffer, who was in the hospital, really going through a tough time. Didn't take me very long to stop and think about Bob Hill and his cancer treatments and his loved ones. It just didn't take very long, and I just had to trust in the Lord. I figure God knows my calendar. You ever thought about that with your calendar? I keep my calendar off to the left, and I can look at it. I look at it often. I mean, I look at it, I write real big and everything to remember everything that's going on. And I figure God probably knows my calendar pretty well. You ever tell God, I don't have time for this, God? Isn't it amazing how you end up doing it and you made time? Honestly, I did not have time for last week. But it's amazing how it all happened. But that is how it works. And for some reason, somehow, some way, was it the lady that was sitting right there in the funeral service, or maybe the lady that was sitting over here? Or maybe it was the folks that I couldn't even see back behind the curtain that raised their hand that they got saved. I don't know. We will know someday. I don't know why all those things happened the way they happened. I just know this. We need to trust God. Amen. Let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let everybody who trust, you say, I just can't rejoice. Are you saying then you can't trust him? Let them that love thy name be joyful in thee. Why, I just can't be joyful right now. Are you saying you don't love his name? Is that what we're saying? We all know it's a sin to disobey God. We know that God says not to kill. Thou shalt not kill. And if we kill somebody, that's a sin. We know that. Bible says don't even look at the wine. And I go out and get drunk. That's a sin. How about this? God says rejoice in the Lord. And I'm a grouch. You know, I got to thinking, and I really thought about this real hard. Why is it such a big deal that I don't rejoice? I think it's because of this verse right here. Because I'm saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust you enough to rejoice. Understand, rejoicing isn't just being happy. I like the piano duet. It was happy. I told Mary, I said, that was a happy song. I like happy things. I really do. I don't like dirges. Boom, boom, boom. You know, churches, amen. You know, and all that. I like happy things. I really do. But that's not necessarily rejoicing. Rejoicing really boils down to this. It says, I trust you, God. I trust you. I just plain trust you. I trust you with my calendar. I trust you with my prescriptions. Amen. I don't know to trust the doctor with my prescriptions because you can't even tell who signed it. And you can't even tell what it says. Have you ever thought about that? When you give a pharmacist a prescription, usually my wife does all this, and for some reason I got to do it this week with a couple things, and I went in, and I'm reading the thing, and I thought, how in the world does anybody know what that is? They might give me something that is going to kill me. They may give me something that's going to make me lose my hair. Well. No. I mean, honestly, I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, and I asked the pharmacist, and by the way, have you ever noticed pharmacists typically don't smile? They just are very serious. And then I thought, I'm glad they are. But I said, how can you tell what that is? Oh, I've done this for years, and how can you tell somebody signed it? I mean, it looked like some sort of a bird or something. I'm serious. I don't know how you can tell anybody signed the thing. How about trusting God with your checkbook? God, do you know how much is in? Yeah, he not only knows what your checkbook says, he knows actually how much is in your account. Because he balances it. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you paying attention there. Do you trust God with your health? I like to tell the story how the time I complained about my eye drops. I've gotten caught talking to God, complaining to God at times, and I remember the first when I was using eye drops for my glaucoma that stung my eyes and made my eyes all red and everything. I'm not sure if I was using those here or not, but I've used drops for many years now, and I was complaining, telling God, you know, this just isn't right. It's just not fair, and it was like God said to me, "Well, quit using them." I said, "Well, I can't do that. I'll go blind." Oh. I haven't complained about my drops since. Think about your medicine. Quit using it. No, I didn't say that. It's on tape. Delete that part right there. No, I'm just saying, you know, if you don't like it. Say, I don't like my glasses. Take them off. Yeah, I know. Isn't that something? Kids got braces. You know, well, fine, have crooked teeth then. It's just, you know, trust God. We just need to trust God. We really just need to say, God, I just trust you. I really do trust you. Went to the eye doctor the other day, and actually a couple months ago, the left eye now, I got to start putting drops back in it. I haven't put drops in the left eye for quite a while now since I had my cataract surgery, because the surgery, bad, surgery's bad. It not only corrected my eyesight in my left eye, but it also corrected the glaucoma in my left eye and lowered all the pressures, and it's been great ever since. Bad. Right? Surgery, bad. Well, it seemed bad, but it ended up being pretty good. I still can remember the laser, and when he's lasering and it going like a sizzling bacon. I thought, that's my eye. Bad. But it was pretty good because I could see. Yeah. God, I trust you, though. You know what? I've been able to see better than I guess I ever have been able to see these last few years since I had that cataract surgery. Because I was 5 when I first got glasses, so I really don't remember seeing. I remember running into trees when I tried to learn how to ride a bike, and my parents thought I was retarded. Honestly, they didn't. Why? What is it about you? You keep hitting trees. They wanted to get me tested. Fortunately, somebody was smart enough to say, get his eyes tested. And I couldn't see. Have you ever thought about getting all your pill bottles and writing on there, I'm a child of the King? Maybe you need to. Maybe you need to put, I'm a child of the King, on your mirror. Folks getting older, I'm a child of the King. And when you look in the mirror and you see another wrinkle, I'm a child of the King. I am a child of the King. I'm going to heaven someday. Now you may be thinking, it's getting closer. That's okay. Because that is where we're going. It's time for us to rejoice over the things we can control and rejoice over the things that He can control. And He controls so much. We throw a fit over some of the dumbest things. You know? We really do. But the truth is, it's just a matter of trusting God. And that's why God knew it'd be hard for us to rejoice. Did you know that? That's why He had to tell us to rejoice. He knew it'd be hard. He knew there'd be times we'd have a hard time. But ultimately, here's what He wants. He wants us to trust Him. Let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee, for Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor. With favor. It's coming. It's coming. Well, yeah, the favor, it's coming. The grace, it's there. That's God. You know, God is the one who gives out the grace. God, every gift, every perfect gift, where's it come from? From above. Everything you can say amen to and hallelujah and wow, that's good. Everything. God gave that to you. God let that happen in your life. Whatever you do, don't let the negative thing, the valley that you're in, the problem, the trial, whatever, don't let that take away your trust of God. Because if you don't trust God, you don't rejoice. If you don't rejoice, you disobey God. Folks, we need to rejoice in the Lord, but first step is to trust Him. Just, God, I trust you. If you say to me tonight, I just can't rejoice in this. I just cannot rejoice over this thing that happened in my life. I just can't have any joy over it. Then I say to you tonight, you might as well say you just can't trust God. When it's hard to rejoice, trust Him. Only trust Him. That's what we need to do. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed.